If you have your Bible, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Put your finger there, verse 14. I want to make just one note as you're turning there. My wife, of course, is with her mother. She's going to have not exactly emergency surgery, but very serious surgery tomorrow. And so I would appreciate you thinking about Sarah's strength and her surgery tomorrow. But also in that respect, we need to line up some folks. We need some more help with the nursery. And so if you can help with that next few weeks or so, please tell me or tell Sue Oglesby or tell somebody so that we can get the nursery people lined up for the next few weeks at least. All right. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 14. The great apostle Paul said, "Let all things be done with charity." He says, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Arcadia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. For I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus, Archippus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." Father God, we do thank you for your great grace. We thank you for this marvelous gift of salvation you so freely give to us in Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunities you give to us that we might return to you a portion of the marvelous and abundant grace you've given to us in our service, our behavior unto you. Father, as we're here this morning, I pray that you continue to be with Dwayne today. Just continue to draw him, Lord, even as he's in service this morning. You've done a great work in his heart. I pray, Father God, that you'll just strengthen that unto you. Be with Brother TB as he's with the Korean congregation this morning. Bless his heart and direct his words there that you might be he might be a blessing to them. Father, we ask you to be with us now. As we open this portion of Scripture this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit come, take control. Lord, we would see Jesus today. We would ask that you would hide us behind the cross, that the words that were said, that everything that we do that might be honoring to you this day, lift us up, draw us to you, strengthen us, give us boldness. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to thank Brother Jimmy for filling in Sunday night and for Otis Sunday morning. I just want to tell you it was a great time. We had a marvelous time down in Red Bud, Illinois. It's about 30 miles from St. Louis. It's a little bit south of Belleville, Illinois, if you know where that's at. And we went down there and did construction work. There were 62 people from 5 different states. It was really exciting to come together with these people working in different ways with all these folks from all over the country. There was some from Wisconsin. There was one couple that rode down on a motorcycle. So I thought, boy, these are brave souls. But anyway, Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky. How many states did I say? 4? Okay, there's one more somewhere in there. It was just a great time. And we were physically working on a new construction that they had been working on for 3 years already. So, you know, they were probably pretty well exhausted, the people of the church. And we came alongside of them. Next week, there's going to be another work group there, 100 people strong. Hopefully, they'll finish off the drywall. That was one of the major things that we were going to work on and try to help them with. They have an auditorium that seats anywhere from 3 to 1,100. It's one of those kind of like an accordion. You know, you can make it adjust from whatever you need. 28,000 square foot on the ceiling. I'm not sure how tall it was up front. But I wasn't getting up there. No way. But we had some guys from Wayndale and from Coventry who were drywallers. We had 2 or 3 other folks who were experienced drywallers. And they got in there and they mudded that thing. The first coat, the second coat, and we're working on the third coat. The first day, they began to work in there. And then so the next morning and from every morning thereafter, instead, we usually got over there as a team about 8:30 in the morning. We'd have breakfast and devotion and then go over there. They went over there at 6 o'clock in the morning. and worked all day long. And they, so they did a marvelous and wonderful job. But, you know, and our team, the team that I was on, they came around, they asked, you know, do you have any particular building skills or anything like that? Of course, I really don't. But I did mention that I had done plumbing, rough end plumbing, when I was going to college. And I said, I know the first rule of plumbing. Water always runs downhill. He said, you're in charge. And so we did four toddler bathrooms. They had sinks and bathrooms and everything in all the rooms. And then we did a huge, big bathroom. And but the first day we were a little rusty. By the end of the week, we were moving right along. So I think that we accomplished a lot. But the thing that was so exciting to me was coming together with all these people from all the United States, one common purpose, one common goal. We welded together almost immediately. We had a great time, a great fellowship. It was exciting to do the work that we were doing. It was hard. It was hot. The plumbers were back there in the back of the church. They didn't have any windows, nothing to look out. One day it actually rained. We didn't even know it. But anyway, it was so exciting to be with these people whose hearts and minds, the sole purpose for being there that week was to help this church build something that they'd never take part in after this week. And so it was just a real blessing. I thought about this verse here in 1 Corinthians 16 where it says they have addicted themselves. Those folks were addicted. I mean, they loved Jesus. It was just such a great time. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. You know, we're familiar with drug addiction. We're familiar with alcoholism. We're familiar with smoking. I remember Brother Chuck told me, here's a man who went to World War II, Iwo Jima, all those kind of places, two Bronze Stars. And he told me the hardest thing he ever did in his whole life was to quit smoking. I thought, my, that must be tough. Sexual addiction. You know, there are people who are addicted to video games. Did you know that? They are. Computers, TV, on and on. We know all about those kind of addictions. But we most likely this morning, this is the first time ever that your hearts and mind were drawn to this verse that said that these people were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Addiction. The basic definition of that is to give oneself up. You can see how that works? Addicted to drugs, they give themselves up to drugs. That becomes their master. So Paul is saying these people were addicted to the ministry of the saints. They had given themselves up to minister in Jesus' name to others. And of course, ministry is to do service. It's the work of the gospel. You know, we can go on with that because part of that is missions. Part of that is a priestly service, a function as we minister. We're a royal priesthood that God uses in his service. But Paul was saying this guy, Stephanus, was habitual. He was obsessive. He had given himself over to the work of the gospel. And Paul names him. Matter of fact, he not only names him, but he says in verse 16 that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. This guy was so surrendered to Jesus, to the Lordship of Christ, that Paul could say of him, look at his example. I thought about that myself, and I thought, could anybody say that of me? Wow, what a compliment, huh? What a compliment. Submitting yourself to such, Paul said, use this as a model. Use Stephanus as a model for your service unto Christ. Is that our model? Are we like him? Are we zealous for the Lord? Do we have a holy obsession for Jesus? Are we addicted to the ministry? Or are all kinds of other things crowding in? Let me give you a few alarming facts. You know, Americans spend more on dog food and pet toys than we give to missions in a year. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I found that in an article. The average mission gift that's given in America is about $6. So some of you here are supporting a whole lot of other folks that aren't giving anything. $6. That's terrible, isn't it? Well, we see the need, but do we hear the cry. Do you hear that cry of ministry, that opportunity of service to come teach us? I know I just had a great time at VBS, Brother Greg, the week before last. And I meant to ask earlier this morning, what was our total gift given to go to Indy? Do you know? Woo! All right. $700. You know what they're going to buy with that $700? All kinds of stuff. That's probably like sending them $5,000. It'll be multiplied there. So praise the Lord for that. Have you heard that cry to teach? Have you heard that cry, come help us? Have you heard that cry, tell me the story of Jesus? You know, America is the second largest mission field in all the world. We don't have to have any special passports. We don't have to have a green card. We don't have to have visas. We're already here. And we're in the second largest mission field in all the world. You don't have to learn the language. Well, most of us might have to learn some language. That was one of my small problems this last week, was getting the ear. Because we had some folks, the other state was Mississippi. Did I mention Mississippi? Getting an ear to listen to those folks from Mississippi. And so on one side you have somebody from Mississippi, on the other side you have somebody from Wisconsin. I guarantee you, those are two different accents. The Mississippi folks, you know, you can sit there and get comfortable because they're going to take a while to tell you. The guy from Wisconsin, like a machine gun, you know. So we probably don't have to learn the language, but we might have to have some adjustments. We don't have to go to a mission board to be commissioned or any of those things. We're already here. We're already commissioned. We're already the Lord's missionaries. I remember years and years ago, I went to Fort Wayne Bible College at that particular time to their library because I was looking for good examples of home missionaries. So I looked all over the stacks and everything like that, and I couldn't find any. So I went to one of the librarians, and I asked the girl, I said, well, listen, you know, foreign missions, I got that. I see all these great people who serve the Lord in foreign missions. I said, but where's the home missionary stuff? She looked at me like I was kind of crazy. She said, the whole rest of the library. Oh, yeah, that's us. That's us. Not some sort of person over here. That's us. We're here to serve the Lord and to propagate the gospel. We don't have to take any shots. I remember when we went to Germany, boy. So we don't have to do that. We don't have to worry about Montezuma's revenge, although you may. Do you know what's wrong with about half of the so-called Christians in America? They're lost. They've never received Christ. No wonder they don't have a passion. No wonder they're not excited. No wonder they don't have a zeal for the Lord. They're going about doing their business, honoring the Lord with their mouth, but they don't have a heart passion. They don't have a grounding. It's all shifting sand. They're not on the rock, and so they can't move out. Do you know what's wrong with the rest of us? The rest of us don't see our responsibility, our service in the light of eternity. You know, over Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus tells a parable of the kingdom, and you know it well. He talks about these folks, this man who's leaving on a journey, and so he gives one of his servants 5 talents. One of the servants, he gives 2 talents. One of the other servants, he gives 1 talent. The one guy with the 5 talents, and he gains 5 talents more. The guy with the 2 talents, he gains 2 talents more. But the one who got the 1 talent hid that talent in the ground. In verse 19 of chapter 25, it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. To the 5 talent who gained 5 and to the 2 talent who gained 2, he said what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been ruler over a little. I'm going to make you ruler over much. That's usually where we stop, isn't it? I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, just like you do. But to the one, he said what? Thou wicked and slothful servant. And we don't like this part at all. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do we say to the Lord with eager anticipation, Lord, here am I. I'll go. Use me. I don't know how. Water only runs downhill. You're in charge. Do we say that? Do we make ourselves available to the Lord in His service? People in hell want us to minister in Jesus' name. Do you know that? You say, where'd you get that, Brother Mike? Well, over there in Luke chapter 16, here again, a very familiar story, tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And of course, the rich man fared sumptuously. Lazarus desired the crumbs from his table. But in verse 27, it says, the guy said, send someone to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them. Now listen, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Isn't that somebody in hell asking that we minister in Jesus' name? Sure it is. He's saying, listen, I can't go over there. It's a great fault. It's too late for me. But I've got five brothers. Won't somebody go and tell them? Won't somebody minister in Jesus' name? Won't somebody get excited and go over there and make some kind of connection? I've got five brothers that's going to end up right here just like me. Unless somebody hears the call. Do you hear this morning? Or are you real satisfied with yourself and comfortable? Men and women in hell are zealous that someone would go and serve the Lord. You say, well, Brother Mike, what difference does one person make? What difference would it make for me to serve the Lord? I don't have any particular great talents. Well, listen, you have a shape. God has given you spiritual gifts. You have a heart for things that only you have a heart for. You have abilities. You have a personality that God can use. You know, sometimes it just takes the right person with the right person. Personality to personality for the Lord to use that person in a great way. And experiences. Listen, you can serve the Lord in a wonderful and great way. I was just talking to TB out there in the hall this morning, and he was just rejoicing that his son, Dwayne, had recommitted his life to Christ. And he told me two instances. He said, 2 days ago, Dwayne said to his father, Dad, can I talk to the preacher? He said, I want to tell him what God has done for me. Of course, TB said, what? Let's go. Let's get over there. And so he shared that Sunday night down at Wayndale. Just a couple of days ago, he told his dad, he said, Dad, what time is worship? What time is Sunday school? I want to be there. Listen, somebody made a difference in his life. Somewhere along the line, touched his heart, and God used that to bring him back into fellowship. Listen, if not you, who? If not here, where? If not now, when? You know, Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India. She tells of a dream that she was sitting in the jungle by a campfire, and as she was watching the flames of that fire shoot up into the sky, she saw a vision of a jungle clearing with a terrible precipice at one end. She saw a mother, she said, with a child clinging to her skirt, walking towards that precipice. And she fell over, and Amy heard that mother and that child scream as they plummeted to their death down that precipice. And then she saw a teenage boy walking along, headed right towards that terrible cliff again, and he was blind, even as the mother and the child had been. As he walked to his death, Amy says, why doesn't someone do something? As the boy fell over the cliff, he grabbed hold of a tuft of the grass and he screamed for help. But no one came, and he fell to his death. And then there were thousands that were also blind and also heading towards the cliff. In her dream, Amy said, why doesn't someone help? Why doesn't someone warn them? Well, you've already figured it out, haven't you? And then she heard the voice of the Lord saying, Amy, you're my servant. You help. You tell. You help. You tell. You know, if you're sitting here this morning, I want to draw your attention back to that verse 15. Have you ever seen that word before? You might have read that verse a dozen times, I bet you, and you never saw it. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that in, he is the first fruits of Arcadia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You want to be pleasing to God today? In the light of eternity, standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the way to be pleasing. That's the way to please. And then, of course, Paul then says down there that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone who helpeth with us. Submit yourselves to the ministry of the Lord and help those who are laboring in that field. Help them. Don't fight against them. Help them and all of us who labor together in the Lord. Father God, this morning, we've come to you at this place, your house, your people. Father, we've looked at this passage of Scripture, which is at the close of this great letter to the Corinthians. I suspect we have studied all kinds of passages, but this closing admonition, we probably skip right over. But here in the very last thing, Paul said, "For they have refreshed my spirit." Oh, Father God, we're to be like flint to each other. Iron sharpening iron. Refreshing each other in the ministry that God the Father has given to us. Father, help us to have a passion. A passion to teach. Help us to have a passion to tell. Help us to have a passion to go. A passion to help. To rescue. The perishing. Father, even this morning, as we come to this invitation time, maybe you've spoken to that one heart today who needs to just come to this altar, bend that knee and that heart unto you very privately, confess, repent, and get up refreshed in the Spirit. Lord, maybe there's that one here today who has never embraced Christ. And for the very first time, something that was said, the Holy Spirit has driven that truth home to their heart. And you're calling them in that small, quiet, still, gentlemanly voice, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Father, use this invitation as only you can. For these things I ask. In the sweet, sweet name of Jesus. I read a story one time about a lady who had a little canary. She called him Pretty Pete. And he was a singer. Oh, he would just sing and sing and sing. So one day she was taking the vacuum cleaner and she was cleaning out the cage on Pretty Pete's cage. And the telephone rang. And so she put the vacuum cleaner wand in this hand. And she was trying to reach out with this hand to get the phone. And about the time she picked up the phone, she went like that. Whoop! Pretty Pete went down in the vacuum cleaner. She opened the glass vacuum cleaner up. She grabbed him out of there by his feet. She ran over to the sink, put him in the water. Whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, took that little nozzle thing. Shh, ran in the bathroom, dried him off. Put him back on his perch. A couple of days later, the lady who had called and said, "What happened to Pete? Is he all right?" She said, "Well, he seems to be all right. But he just doesn't sing much anymore. You know, I think sometimes Satan just runs us to the vacuum cleaner of life. We just feel like we've been wrung out and strung out and used. But listen. Listen. We can still sing. We can still proclaim. We can still minister. God is sovereign."